This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Friday the 26th of April. In your Squiz today, a violence crisis flares up, 5 teens are facing terror charges, BHP makes a mega offer, and Cicada Geddon causes problems. This is your Squiz today. Siobhan, I barely have to point this out, but the recent news headlines have made for some pretty grim reading, and particularly over the past couple of weeks with a number of Australian women killed by men. And now that sharp rise in violence has prompted Domestic Violence Commissioner Michaela Cronin to call an emergency national roundtable on the 7th of May.
And when you say a number of women, Alice, there's data that underscores how bad the problem is. And it shows that 11 more Australian women have been killed so far in 2024 than at this same time last year. Cronin says tolerance for that is coming to an end and that things need to change. She also says that stakeholders at the roundtable will review the federal government's national plan to end domestic violence and look at whether policy changes need to be made.
Yeah, and one of those potential changes that's being looked at is around bail reform. That's been brought up after the death of Molly Ticehurst this week. She was a 28-year-old childcare worker and mum living in Forbes in central west New South Wales. Her body was found on Monday and her ex-partner, 29-year-old Daniel Billings, has been charged with her murder.
Yes, and there's questions about how Billings was out on bail at the time because he'd already been accused of 3 serious indictable offences, including sexually assaulting Molly. Her father, Tony Ticehurst, says if Billings hadn't been given bail, his daughter would still be alive. So in light of that, the New South Wales Attorney General, Michael Daly, is reviewing the circumstances of his release. But that case isn't isolated, Alice. There have been other connections made between several of the men accused of killing women and the court system. So that's what's led to those calls for policy reform.
Yeah, but domestic violence campaigner Rosie Batty doesn't believe that bail reform is a fix-all for the problem. She says victims are only truly safe if the perpetrator decides to no longer be abusive and violent. Instead, she says that she wants to see a change in the language that we use. She says if perpetrators were called intimate partner terrorists, domestic and family violence situations would be taken more seriously. There were 13 counter-terrorism raids in Sydney and Goulburn on Wednesday, Siobhan. And as a result of those, 5 teenagers aged between 14 and 17 years old have faced court. They remain in custody after being charged with terror offences.
So those offences include possessing or controlling violent extremist material, conspiring to engage in a terrorist act, and being in custody of a knife in a public place. Federal Police Deputy Commissioner Chrissy Barrett says the arrests came after a network of people sharing a violent extremist ideology was uncovered. And it's thought the teens are associates of the 16-year-old boy who allegedly stabbed Bishop Marmari Emmanuel in a terrorist attack at a church in southwest Sydney last week.
Police say that more raids are expected, but the whole thing has angered some local Muslim leaders who say they're in shock as community organisations were not asked for any information. They've raised concerns about what they say was a high-handed approach from the authorities. Siobhan, 18 people have been indicted for attempting to overturn Donald Trump's loss to Joe Biden in the 2020 presidential election in Arizona. They include the former New York City mayor and lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows.
Yes, another day and another twist in Trump's legal dramas, Alice. So 11 of those people are Republicans who submitted a document to Congress falsely declaring that Trump won Arizona, which has seen them charged with conspiracy, fraud, and forgery. Now, Trump wasn't charged, but he is referred to as an unindicted co-conspirator. And it makes Arizona the fourth state to bring charges against so-called fake electors.
And for Trump's part, he claims the cases are a political witch hunt to stop him from winning the November election, while a Giuliani spokesperson called the indictment part of the continued weaponization of our justice system. A message now from our podcast partner, BHP. The steel made from iron ore plays an important role in providing the production of our energy infrastructure, from wind turbines to power poles. So cutting carbon emissions in iron ore production is key. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power its port facilities at Port Hedland. It's happening now at BHP. Australia and the world's largest mining company, BHP, has made what's said to be a $52 billion bid to take over the UK-based miner Anglo American. If that does go ahead, it would also make BHP the largest global producer of copper.
Yeah, it could also be one of the biggest deals of the year, Alice. Mm. And reports say it could trigger more mergers and acquisitions as companies are competing for the metals needed for the energy transition to renewable sources. Now, when it comes to this deal, experts say it's perfect for BHP because Anglo has plans to expand copper to 1 million tonnes per year in the next 10 years. Plus, Anglo has had a tough year as its share price fell 12% after prices for some of its key products plunged. And operational challenges forced it to cut production targets, making it very vulnerable to a takeover.
But it's worth pointing out that it's not a done deal yet. Anglo's board says that it's reviewing the proposed buyout, but there's no certainty that it will happen, so we'll just have to wait and see. Siobhan, earlier this month we spoke about the so-called cicadageddon that was about to hit the eastern United States, and we have an update. It is happening, and residents in one US state say that they've been so deafened by the chirping that they've been calling local sheriffs to ask why they can hear sirens.
Yeah, it really can't be pleasant for people who are afraid of bugs, Alice. And yeah, as you say, deputies in Newberry County and South Carolina had to put up a post on Facebook reassuring people that the racket was nothing to worry about, but just the sound of male cicadas singing to attract a mate after more than a decade of being dormant. And they said, unfortunately, it is the sounds of nature.
Well, the sounds of nature must be loud because trillions of red-eyed periodical cicadas, which are the ones that are emerging, they're coming out from underground, and apparently their collective songs can be as loud as jet engines, which forces the scientists who study them to wear earmuffs. I'm not going to complain about my neighbour's noisy dogs anymore, Siobhan. They get a pass from me. Friday Lights, I believe you've got something fun for us this week, Siobhan.
Yes, maybe it's because yesterday was a public holiday, or maybe it's just because I'm feeling a little bit lazy. But I've found a great article with some recipes, if you can even call them that, for what is known as a chatter platter. Mm. And it's basically a cute name for how to turn a bunch of snacks into an easy meal. It sounds really obvious, but apparently the key is to focus on one thing, like a really good cheese, and then build out around that, rather than just a mashup of whatever's in your fridge, which is my usual approach.
Anything with cheese is a win for me, Siobhan.
Yes.
And it's a great suggestion because you've put two watching recommendations in the Squiz Today newsletter. So make sure you sign up for that on our website if you haven't already, and you'll be able to see those recommendations. And I'll add a link to the Chatter Platter article in the episode notes today. Thank you so much for listening this week. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single-use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like, actually is, like, you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.